Welcome,
Steve.
everybody.
Hi,
Hi,
Steve.
Steve.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome, everybody, to the Saturday speaker meeting of the Highlands Islands Groups of Narcotics Anonymous. And can we please start this meeting with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict in and out of these rooms? And thank you, guys. Meeting reminders. Yeah, please remember to listen to the similarities and not the differences. Please be mindful of others needing to share after meeting is large. We ask that we share the time out of spirit of respect for others. Please remember to mute your microphones for not sharing. Please be mindful that it's the conscience of this group not to use video. We thank you for respecting those things, and we can manage them for you if you can't manage them yourself. If you're used today in a maintenance program, please listen to what has been said and talk to someone after the meeting. After the meeting. We're happy for attendees to post in the text box, however, please refrain from cross-sharing, chit-chatting, and please keep the messages positive, keep an atmosphere of recovery. We'd ask if you wouldn't do it in a face-to-face meeting, please don't do it here. If you're new to our meetings or visiting, welcome, we're glad that you're here. You might like to check out our guidelines page, recently revamped. It's possible to call into our meetings via mobile or landlines from over 40 countries around the world, and there's a link there you can go to, follow the trail of breadcrumbs, and it will show you how to do that. If you've got any questions about our meetings or anything else to do with recovery in NA, please send an email to meetings@higna.org.uk and we'll endeavour to answer your questions as best we can. And you can also use that email to request items of NA literature in digital format if you can't get it any other way. So thank you guys, and we are a speaker meeting. We do have a speaker. We will get to that, but in the meantime, we're going to open this meeting in the usual way with some suggested reading from the basic text. And I'm going to ask if people would be kind enough to read them. So could someone please tell us who is an addict?
My name is Jim. I'm an addict.
Hello,
Hi,
Jim.
Jim.
Hello,
Hello.
Jim.
Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know a whole life of thinking with such addictive drugs in one form or another, the getting, using, and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the group of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you,
Thank
Jim.
you, Jim.
Perhaps then someone would be kind enough to read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program for us.
I'm Christine, an addict.
Hello,
Hi,
Christine.
Christine.
Hi,
What
Christine.
is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a non-profit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We're recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There's only one requirement for membership: the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to any. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We're not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you've done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. Those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Christine.
Christine.
Good,
Christine.
Christine.
Perhaps then someone could help us answer the $64,000 question. Why are we here?
My name's Lisa. I'm an addict. I can read that.
Thank you, Lisa.
Hi,
Hi,
Lisa.
Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hey guys, why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realised in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide. Addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realised we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
And perhaps then someone could please tell us how it works.
I'm Steve, I'm an addict.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. 1. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. We humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having a spiritual awakening, 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. I didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. 3 of these are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, but the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society, in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you are like us and know that one is too many and a thousand, if you are like us, you know that one is too many and a thousand never enough. We put great emphasis on this, but we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction. We must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you again to everybody else that's read, that's helped us open the meeting this evening. Take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Particularly welcome to any visitors to our meeting this evening. Nice to have you with us, and a huge welcome to any newcomers that might be with us. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So we do have a speaker tonight, and I'm going to hand you over to Jay, who's going to introduce them. So, Jay, over to you.
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
The individual that's speaking tonight, I've known 38 years. Maybe longer. I've watched her grow in this program. I've watched her blossom in this program. We have cohabitated multiple times under the roof I'm sitting in. And our relationship is, I don't think I'd be here if she hadn't come back into my life when she did. She's my sister from another mother. And we have just weaved in and out of each other's lives forever. I'm going to see her in a couple of days, and it'll be the first time I've seen her in 3 years physically. I look forward to that. I'm going to watch her children graduate high school from the same school that I graduated from, which just blows my mind, because it doesn't seem like it's been 4 years since all that happened. And it's 4 years, and they've grown up. The twists and turns of life are amazing. You know, the people that have been here for me she is definitely one of the people that knows me better than most. And she just celebrated a major milestone. I'll let her tell you about that. Without further ado, Dawn, would you share with us?
Did I unmute? Am I unmuted?
You did.
Oh. Hi, everybody. My name's Dawn, and I'm an addict.
Hi.
Hey, Dawn.
Dawn.
Hi, everybody. Jay, thank you for that introduction. I was going to say, if you started boo-hooing on this, I'm going to slug you in the arm when I see you this week. So let's see. First and foremost, it's an honor and a privilege to share anywhere. But this particular meeting, and there are people currently that are members of this group and that are here visiting, hold a really special place in my heart. And I need to say that and acknowledge that, because there was a time that, long before COVID, pre-COVID days, you know, that my life was really busy and I would come to this meeting. And so there are some people in this meeting who live across the pond or in different country across the pond that when I hear their voice, it makes me smile. So I just need to say, I'm so glad you guys are here. Now, I probably should say my normal disclaimers. This is my experience, strength, and hope in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And that some of the very basic things that we learn about when we first get clean still hold true for me today. One, don't use no matter what. Two, go to a meeting. Three, get a sponsor. Four, call the sponsor. Five, work steps. Six, do the best you can at any given moment in time. Probably seven is, it's just for today. So, if you're new, you never, ever, ever have to use again. For those of you who've never heard me, you know, I get pretty emotional because I'm so filled with gratitude about what the program has given me and what my predecessors did for me and what I continue to do today. So, you know, I'm an addict. That pretty much levels the playing field in this meeting. You know, I did all those things that our literature talks about, in and out of jails, in and out of institutions, substituting one drug for another, substituting one step. Listen, I did it all. You know, and so including death. I've been clinically dead twice, long before there was, you know, helpers, that's what I call it, Narcan and all that other stuff. You know, and so I was introduced to the fellowship, not this one. I was introduced to our parent fellowship when I was 14. Because, you know, in a blackout, I put two police officers in intensive care and I had a bag full of drugs and blah, blah, blah. And so I was kind of court ordered to go to a meeting. Now, I should have known my very first meeting when that woman, who was probably 35, stood up there and told my story. And I was like, oh, hell no, this is not me. Uh-uh, I'm too young. Because I looked around the room, and there was nobody anywhere near my age. I mean, I thought, this just can't be happening. So I went in and out of the rooms and in and out of a whole bunch of situations because, you know, I was terminally cool, and I was hip, and I just didn't. You know, somewhere probably around 18, I decided that I was an addict, and this is what addicts do, and that I would rob, steal, lie, cheat, sell drugs, do drugs, you know. And so I went into treatment in 1981. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous because I went to the World Convention in Miami. This is a funny part of my story. I was in treatment, and I ran around that convention checking the coffee pots because I knew there was shit in that coffee pot beside coffee. Because everybody was happy, and they were all hanging out, and they were all smiling. So, you know, my warped mind, there was something wrong with them. There was something in the coffee because they were all drinking coffee. You know, I started looking good and feeling good. Now, this is my history in and out of the rooms from the time I was 14 until the time I was 20. I could never get 90 days because I'd start looking good and feeling good and I was out the door. In the other fellowship that I went to, they would call me the tornado because I'd come in and then I'd blow out. See? May 19th, 1982. This is the last day I used. And I'm saying this because one is, I don't know how I got here. It's not true either. That night, in a blackout, I almost killed my baby brother. And the next morning when I woke up, I was at my mother's house, which she didn't, you know, that was on one night because she'd kicked me out a long time ago. I can tell you this. For a split second, this kid that I raised hid behind my mother. And for 30 seconds, approximately, give or take, I saw my disease on someone else. I saw it. Can't explain it, but I saw it. Now, I raised this kid. You know, I was like his mother. And for those 30 seconds, I saw the disease. It was 10:30 in the morning. I was still pretty, not in my right mind, shall I say. I went to where I normally knew to go. I went to a noon meeting from our parent fellowship, and I haven't had the need to use since. So that was that part. That's what got me here. Now, and so I don't know how I got 39 years. And I can tell you I do because I did it one day at a time and did all those things. But I'm still in shock about it. I mean, I'm still like, nah, if something's wrong. Did I miss part of my life? Because I have 39 years in the fellowship. However, in my head, I think I'm 27 or 28. And my body's pretty good too. So I'm into, I don't know how this happened, but I'll get to that later. So they told me don't use and go to meetings. They told me to keep my mouth shut because I didn't know anything about staying clean. And everybody in the room knew about how to get loaded. Now, at the time, there was meetings in Miami. One, the oldest meeting is in West Palm in the state of Florida. And so that was mainline, and I'd go to that meeting. And then my sister started a meeting in Boynton. That's still going. And then there was a meeting in Lake Worth. Now, that's the county, so everybody went to both fellowships. And I didn't care because of this. I had a disease. My disease was yours and more, and it didn't matter what it was. I also realized that I needed to use recovery like I use my substances. And so I used every day, all day long. So I was coming up on 90 days. I had 86 days. I was in this wonderful, loving, kind, nurturing relationship. That's being sarcastic. He didn't want me to go to meetings, so he started hiding the car keys. He hid the distributor cap, finally hid the car, and I would just walk. I mean, I was so determined to go to meetings that I didn't care. What happened was I never got 90 days, and I was terrified I was going to use. And I went and begged to go back into the treatment center that I was in, and they told me to come on Tuesday. And Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was banging on that door. Because it was, I think that was day 87. And so I was like, okay, if I'm in a safe environment, I'm going to be okay. Because I still didn't have the concept of, as long as I do what was suggested, I'll be okay. You know, I still didn't have that concept. I just knew not to use and go to meetings. That's all I knew. I didn't know how to be honest or how to be a friend or how to, I didn't know any of that stuff. I was what you call low bottom. I was animal. I hung out with the men because the men did the things I did. Not that I can manipulate the men, but they thought and they acted like I did. And the men, it really taught me how to be. You know, they were pretty good for me. They told me don't get in a relationship for the first year. Guess what? 18 months. You know, I was doing whatever they told me to do. I had some. The gift of desperation that brought me to my knees is the precious gift that kept me on my feet. My gift of desperation. They told me to jump, I jumped. They tell me to walk to California to go to meeting every day, I would have done it. I would have done whatever they said because I wanted it. I wanted to stop hurting. You know, I was so tired and I was beyond beat up and I was not even human. You know, so I did it. I did what they said. Now, somewhere around, I don't know when. So, you know, some people came from Ohio, tell us because we don't know how to run a fellowship in Florida, blah, blah, blah. So then this is what happened. Around 3 years and 3 months exactly, I had a spiritual crisis, for lack of a better word. And I was doing everything I was supposed to do, and I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable, but using in my head was not an option. So every night for 2 weeks, I tried to kill myself. And I tried because I'm still here, so you can see how good I did that. But I was in a relationship. I was married. And he would go to bed, and I would get up, and I would try to kill myself. And me and God, or this power greater than myself, or whatever, it was really the air in the back patio. We'd have this full-on battle on my knees. And so, and in the morning, I'd wake up, and I would pretend everything was fine. Probably I think it was day 14. Day 14, I was so beat up and I was so done that I think that's when I really did my third step. You know, I made a decision. I didn't take it back. I didn't let things go. I just made a decision to turn my will and my life, all of it, over to this, whatever this was. And that my thing was always this. if whatever this, you know, because I was raised Catholic, God and I were not on good terms. Whatever this was that supported the sun and the moon and the stars, that supported palm trees and life and supported our fellowship, whatever it was, I just surrendered to it. And then I became absolutely crazy in the fellowship, because that NA was the last place on the block. So some people in this room know, you know, I don't like what you're saying in my meeting. I'm getting a new coffee pot. I'm going to start a new meeting. That's so much. I don't know what spiritual principle that was at the time. But as a result, the fellowship grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. You know, and when I got clean in the United States, and so it was us in California, you know, and so probably in the last 10 years, I'm into the World Fellowship in the United States. You know, there's some stuff with that. I'm not really sure what it is, but I can tell you this. I know that there is... I'm going to promise I wasn't going to cry. I know that there's an addict who's hurting somewhere in this world that doesn't know that there's hope and that there's a place for them to go and that they never have to use again, and that the disease of addiction is not exclusive. It is not. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are, what sex you are, what gender identity you identify as. It doesn't matter if you're 14 or you're 50. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you live in Vermont or that you live in the Sudan. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. And that I have watched our fellowship encompass that. I have seen it and experienced it. I have, and I'm so grateful. You know, I'm so grateful that there might be somebody like me or you who doesn't know about us, who's going to die not knowing that there's hope. And so I'm very grateful for, one, this platform. And I'm saying this platform because I've been to meetings all over the world, and I haven't left my living room. And I've met some really incredible, wonderful people who are just like me that I might not ever physically get to hold and hug their neck. But like when I hear them or I see them in a room with me, I know that they're my people. Not that I own anybody, but like, I've had interaction with them. They've shared experience, strength, and hope in meetings I've been with. They're like me, and I'm like them, and it's wonderful. You know, and I think that, for me, that's important. So, because I'm looking at all the people in this room on my little technology, and like, you know, I have some type of experience with 90% of the people in this room, and some people I've never even seen. And so, but I know that you are me and I am you, and we're all trying to do this together. And so for that, I'm grateful. So, you know, the first 10 years of my recovery, I go to a convention, and every year I look like a different person because I was short. My hair was short. My hair was blonde. I was wearing glasses. I was wearing contacts. I was gaining weight. I was losing weight. I mean, the only thing that didn't change was my height. But everything else was so – because the first 10 years of my recovery, I was trying to find myself. You know, I did all the things, and I was involved in service, and I, you know, went on road trips, and – we did 12-step calls, and I went to work, and I was married, and, you know, we were Mr. and Mrs. N.A., and I did regional work, blah, 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 blah. Looking back on it, I'm so, so grateful for my first 10 years because it allowed me, one, to grow up in the fellowship. You know, just because I put down the substances did not mean that I was insane. you know, did not mean that I had some serious character defects. Did not mean that I wasn't going to step to. And the other thing about all of that is I was not so necessarily kind and loving, because I was afraid that if you said certain words or did certain things in my meeting, that my house wasn't going to survive. So if, you know, I didn't have any patience or tolerance with people. They used to call us Nazis because I was. I mean, I was like, don't say that. I mean, I probably drove a lot of people out of the rooms because of my fear. My fear was this. If I didn't have a place to go, if I didn't have an NA meeting to go to, then I was going to use, and if I used, I was going to die. Or if I used, I would never be able to get back, and I was going to live in a vicious hell. I couldn't decipher which was which. The other thing is something happened in those first 10 years. I have people that I have, besides Jay, I mean, I have people that I have known my entire recovery. I mean, I have lifelong friendships that have, like, people I grew up with, and it's pretty amazing. It's just really pretty amazing to me. You know, I still do all the things I'm supposed to do. You know, my second decade was, oh, I was batshit crazy then too. I think, that's when I owned the bar. Oh, how you like that, you guys? You know, I'm in recovery and I own a bar with some other people. And I don't just own a bar. I own an adult entertainment club. And that my sponsor fired me and told me to get rid of all the people I sponsored because I was going to use. And I did it. Never do that again. This is what I can tell you about that experience. People in the light don't need the light. And GEDs and college and getting out of the business and people got recovery. I mean, there's people that I, you know, have double digits in recovery from that experience. And then, you know, there was people who came in on Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock and sat at the bar and bring a meeting. That's what they said. However, I don't know if that's true. But I was so into that they came and we talked recovery, and we sat at a bar, an adult entertainment club, every Monday at 1 o'clock for a long time. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I wouldn't strongly suggest that you work your program the way I did. I have this amazing life. I mean, absolutely amazing. You know, so I got married and I went to Russia and I adopted my two children in recovery who are going to graduate high school. And, you know, I had all the things. I had a multi-million-dollar business and two Harley Davidsons and all this stuff, three houses, blah, 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 blah. What happened was is that my ex-husband wasn't enough for him and he started dealing drugs. So in 30 seconds one night, my whole life flipped upside down and I lost everything except for my recovery. I lost everything on the outside. And so, this is what I can tell you about that whole experience. One, money, property, and prestige diverted me from my primary purpose. And that was to be clean, to stay clean, to practice spiritual principles. Now, I went to a meeting a week, and I don't know if I was, I might have been sponsoring one or two people at that time. However, I wanted this marriage to work because I was in love with the idea of this family and all, whatever, all this outside stuff. Well, it wasn't really outside stuff, because this is the only thing I've ever wanted in my whole life. I wanted to be a mom since before I can remember. I have this thing about a community, that we help each other and we heal, and not necessarily a commune, but something like that. And I wanted to be in a partnership, not be necessarily be married, but to be in a partnership. And so I thought that I had that. I thought I was in a partnership. Oh, I was not in a partnership, in that form, because we all know that, you know, substance use, you know, addiction takes precedence over everything, including cars and houses and families and children, blah, blah, blah. And so in 30 seconds, I lost everything, except for my recovery and my children. I mean, he tried to take my kids, you know, and my life got turned upside down. And what happened was I was brought back to the basics. I left Georgia because I was living in Georgia, and I moved back to Florida. I went and lived with my family and took 2 years and healed. I then went back to Clearwater. That's where Jay lives, everybody, if you ever want to visit him. I'm not going to tell you the address, but that's where he lives. So I went back to Clearwater with my kids, which was really good for everybody concerned. And then you know, when I went back to Florida, it was like coming back to the fellowship. Like, I got really involved. I got a new sponsor. You know, I got involved with Frickna. You know, I did all this. I got a home girl. I mean, I was just, first of all, I was grateful. And second of all, I was grateful. I was really, really grateful. I'm still really, really grateful. You know, I got to meet some people who came across the pond because of my service work. You know, I got to reconnect with some people I got clean with. I got to meet new people. I developed a strong sense of community. You know, I started sponsoring people again and, like, formally work in steps with the people I sponsor. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about that time, and I'm thinking, you know, they say that lost dreams awaken when they come in the rooms. And this is, and I'm going to get emotional again. I went back to college. I went and finished an AA degree. I went and finished a bachelor's degree, raising kids, going to work. You know, that's reasons why I love this meeting, because when I was doing that, this was one of the times that I could go to a meeting. You know, I could go to a meeting because I had kids in middle school, and I was in college and I was working. So Saturdays I could go to a meeting and not leave the living room and put the homework on pause and come to this meeting. And it was the same people, and it was really wonderful. You know, and then my kids got out of middle school, and higher power, Buddha, great mystery, Jesus, antimatter, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to offend anybody. God, goddess, you know, I when they graduated out of middle school, you know, Jay could correct me if I'm wrong. Probably in less than 24 hours, I was moving to Vermont. I didn't know how I was getting here. I didn't know any of that. You know, somebody asked me a question. I asked somebody else a question, and then before I knew it, higher power and I are screaming and yelling in a living room about, you got to be effing kidding me if you think I'm moving from nice sunny Florida where the beach is 10 minutes to the frozen tundra of the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. And so I said something like, you better give me a sign. And so the sign was that the only NA meeting was in Dr. Bob's childhood home. And it is 7 blocks from my house. And that's when I knew that, you know, my higher power was putting me somewhere where I didn't know anybody. All my support's down there, and that there was a meeting 7 blocks from my house. And that's all I really cared about. You know, Sunday night, some Sundays I'd be the only person sitting in the parking lot. I would go to meetings in Littleton, which is about 20 miles away. I came up here, I got my master's degree. I work in the field. I am a clinician. I deal with newcomers every day of the week, which I absolutely am so grateful for. And I'm not their sponsor, and I'm not any of that. But, like, I get to see their lights come on. You know, I get to see when, like, they come out of the fog and that little flicker of hope comes, you know, and I get to see when, you know, they come in with their 30-day key tag and that they tell me, Dawn, you know I'm not supposed to talk about this with you, but I think I found this person to be my sponsor and I'm going to start working steps. You know, I get to experience all that because I let everybody know that I'm in long-term recovery. I don't necessarily tell them I'm in NA, but some of them I do, because they're addicts like me. And so besides clinical and my job, you know, my primary purpose is to help the addict who still suffers. And I see them all the time. And I see the disease out and alive and well, you know, and I can tell you that I probably have a relapse in me, but I know this much. I do not have another recovery in me. So I do all the things I'm supposed to do. I go to meetings and I help people and I pick up the phone and I become vulnerable. And, you know, my disease today is very different than when I first got clean. You know, my disease is plots and plans. It doesn't say, hey, Dawn, let's go get loaded. It doesn't say that. It says things like, you don't have to go to a meeting today. And it says things like, you know, so-and-so lies to me one more time. This has to do with work. You know, I think I'm going to zap them. And then I start plotting and planning in my head of how I'm going to zap them. You know, and what happens is recovery always steps in and says to me, Dawn, can you tell me what spiritual principle that is? Because that sounds like resentment and ego. Today, I'm getting ready to do a fifth step again with my sponsor tomorrow. And I'm doing a fifth step on another area of my life, which is scarcity and fear. See, because I'm not using chemicals. But my disease is still alive and well. And so, you know, I have stuff from my childhood, which is there was never enough money. I went to bed hungry. So, you know, I have a tendency to stockpile when stuff's on sale. And so I don't have it because I'm afraid that there's not going to be enough. And that is a lie that I've lived with for so long that I decided I can't do this anymore. The universe provides for me constantly. There's always more than enough. And I live in a world of abundance and not in a world of scarcity. So I need to address this. I also know that that's part of my disease. You know, part of my disease says it's not enough. There's not enough. It also says I'm not enough, which is a big fat lie. because the universe doesn't make junk and we're all perfect just the way we are right here, right now. You know, I was thinking about, I got a text this morning at 6:30. Can you please speak? So, which is always good for me because I don't have to think about anything. I just say my prayer. Please just let me be an instrument. Please help me to share my experience, strength, and hope. So, when I said, you know, I got 39 years and I don't know how I did it, and that's not true. You know, I know how I did it. And I, if anybody heard anything that they could help them, I'm grateful. And if you didn't hear something, come back, because sooner or later you're going to hear something that you need to hear when you need to hear it. I can't ever put into words how grateful I am for this fellowship. I can't. I have this amazing life, stuffed with feelings, crying on the thing, you know, kids getting ready to go to college. There's a part of me that wants to have a party. That I can come to meetings and see people I haven't seen in 4 years because my life showed up. You know, I thought about this. This is really for Jay and everybody else who knew this person. There was a person when we first got clean. He had more time than we did, and he was very instrumental in the fellowship. And this is what he used to say. NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and Working the Steps is designed to give you a life, not to be your life. And it took me a long time to understand what that actually meant. And today, when I was making coffee, I heard his voice. It's like he was sitting in my dining room. And so I can tell you that today I have this most amazing, spectacular life. I look at myself in the mirror and I'm into, you're not a scumbag, you're not an animal, like you're a complete, total human being who's growing, and that you have good days and you have bad days, and that, you know, this is never ending. If somebody tells you that, oh, you're going to wake up with 35 years or 20 years, or you're going to get to this place where it's going to be, oh, you don't have to work the steps and you don't have to live the steps, and you don't have to grow and change, they're lying to you. It is an ongoing daily process. You know, in Living Clean, it says, I think it's that one. I don't quote literature too much, but it says that recovery is a lifelong full contact process. And that's what it is. It's lifelong. It's full contact. And it's a process. My name's Dawn, and I'm an addict. And today, I am not necessarily an old-timer. Today, I am an experienced member of Narcotics Anonymous. And I hope that I was able to convey my experience, strength, and hope to you. And that everything can happen. Life beyond your wildest dreams can happen. And that, for that, I'm so grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Dawn.
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 Fantastic. Glad
I always love your share. I've heard your share a few times. Sat in the same room when you shared once or twice, and that's been awesome. And you always bring tears to my eyes with your just emotions and gratitude for what NA is and how it works. And I was relating to it. It's different. I heard a different story tonight too. It's different, you know, it's the same truth, different picture. And I was relating to what you know, you were sharing about losing everything changing, control, alt, delete, you know. And I've been there myself in recovery, where everything just fell to fucking bits, and it happened in a blink of an eye, you know, like 1 minute everything seemed to be in control, and the next minute it was all totally out of control. And I'm just so grateful too for the fact that I had a program in my life that allowed me to A, not use, because I wanted to. I wanted to change the way I felt. I felt like shit. You know, literally from 1 minute to feeling kind of okay to the next minute, done, you know, life fell apart. And I wanted to use. And what I'd learned in this program was that I isn't the option. You know, I've just got to keep plodding on. I've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I get that. I sense that from your story tonight, you know, that that's part of it. You know, it's like, what's the option? Jails, institutions, and death. I've been there. I don't want to go back there. I've done enough. I paid my fucking dues to earn my seat. You know, I just, yeah, I love you. I love you, my friend, as you know. I miss you terribly. So I'm going to leave it there, guy. Open the floor. Open the floor for sharing. So I'm going to jump up and down the list. We've got a bit of time left. Ask people to share and do my best to get to as many people as possible. So Ellie, would you like to open the sharing for us this evening?
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Ellie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ellie. Hi, Dawn.
It's so wonderful to hear you. Congratulations. It's been a while. I have heard your story, and I always remembered it. I remember you, of course. And my life hasn't changed all that much. Of course, you know, COVID and the rest of that stuff. But it's pretty much the same, up and down, you know. But I would say more up than down. I'm still in the same spot with my daughter. In fact, it's even worse now. I don't even know where they are or haven't, you know. But I'm okay, you know. I'm clean no matter what. And I have been clean no matter what, except for the time that I relapsed. That one, you know, once is enough. And I don't know, just trying to live life on life's terms. Have had a much deeper connection with my higher power, which I'm very, very grateful for. And it's because of these meetings. You know, there's no other way to explain it. You know, I just feel, try to live a spiritual life, not always perfect, but sometimes I say things to my husband that I have regrets that I allowed myself to get out of control, or allowed him to push buttons, and I regret, you know, reacting because I know better, but, you know, I try. And, I'm still doing artwork. And I'm finally, our gallery is opening, so I'll be having a group show in a couple of weeks. And I've been just doing life, just living life. Very congratulations on your milestone. Again, it's really awesome to hear you. And I knew as soon as Jay introduced you, a sister from another mother, I knew it was you. So, thanks, guys, for letting me share. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Jay and Steve, and I'll share the time.
Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you,
Ellie. Thank you, Ellie. We're sort of that time. I'm just going to quickly jump into a clean time countdown. So part of the format of our meetings, we celebrate clean time with claps and virtual hugs. So I'm going to ask if anybody is celebrating a clean time milestone today, this week just gone, for multiple years of recovery. I know it's a week or so ago, but congratulations, Dawn, 39 years. Wow.
Thank you, thank you.
Well done, Dawn.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Is there anybody in the meeting today, this week, celebrating 18 months? Or 1 year? Anyone celebrating 9 months? Anyone in the meeting with us today, this week, celebrating 6 months? Or 90 days? Anyone celebrating 90 days of recovery today, this week? or 60 days. Has anybody today this week celebrating 30 days or in their first 30 days of recovery would like to give a shout out? Most important is anybody's first meeting 24 hours clean or less coming back from a relapse? Looking for a new way of life? Please keep coming back and congratulations for everybody in the room. Tonight it's got a day clean and a meeting. And there's a couple of ways of getting key tags. You can go to the website, download one, or you can send us an email to meetings@hypnodog.uk. So please jump on that when the time comes. And thank you, folks. And with that, Joanna B. from Florida, USA, would you like to share with us today?
No, no, thank you. I appreciate it, though.
Thank you, Joanne. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Joanne.
Lisa, would you like to share with us this evening?
Oh, yeah, I will. Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an addict.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Dawn, for sharing with us. It was really great to hear you. You really got me emotionally. You know, it's you know, I feel like I understand the gratitude, but I can't really understand because, you know, 39 years is a long time and I am 1 year clean, you know, so it's different. But I get very emotional as well when I speak about how much this fellowship has done for me. You know, since I found it a year ago, you know, it made me really emotional as well. It's truly amazing and miraculous what it does. You know, and it was great to hear how much these meetings helped you at a time when you needed it as well. I mean, I owe a debt of gratitude to Hygna. You know, I came here, I stumbled upon Hygna, you know, when I was desperately looking for some help with my addiction. You know, there's not really much help where I live. I live in Shetland and there isn't any NA here, so it wasn't something I'd ever really thought about, wasn't on my radar. And I came across Hygna online and I somehow got to a meeting and I've been coming ever since, and it's been such a blessing for my life. And I would never have understood, you know, that emotion of gratitude. I would never have understood that before I found NA and I found Hygna. I've never really felt an emotion like that before, I don't think. And you know, I really related to a lot of what you said, and you know, about the gift of desperation and how that is such a special gift, no matter how, you know, shitty it feels at the time. You know, when I look back, it got me here, and nothing else would have got me here except for that level of desperation. And so, you know, I'm super grateful for that as well. I really appreciate your share. It was really wonderful to hear you. And thank you, Steve and Jay, for your service. And I'll share the time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lisa.
Anna, would you like to share with us today?
Hi, guys. I'm Anna and I'm an addict.
Hi, Anna.
Thank you very much for the service and for the meeting, Anna, Dawn, for your share. And I was really thrilled when I knew you were coming, and I'll make it short. I am very grateful because listening to you, I understand that I'm not alone. And it's not just about drugs or being able to stop and stay stopped and all that stuff, but it's a lot of what the way I feel, the way I am in my life and in my recovery, that you I look at you and I see identification and I see an example, and that is very precious to me. For a long time, I thought I was the only one, in recovery that would feel that way, that would feel that way or would want or have that perspective, see. And it's been great. Thank you very much and congratulations again. Lots of love. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
Okay, Christine, would you like to share with us tonight?
I'm Christine, I'm an addict.
Hi, Christine.
Christine.
God, I'm so tired. Thank you, Dawn. It was great to hear you. When I saw you were in the room, I was hoping you'd come here to share. I've heard you before in this meeting, and it was a great story. And I remember I was around in these meetings when you went to Vermont. You were just moving out. You know, you spoke, I identified with so much. You know, I've had that I've had a struggle to get clean and to get a grip on step two again and to be able to believe that I can recover again if I do what I need to do. It took my father dying, or my father going into a care home with dementia first, and then dying, to free me, really. I mean, that relationship was so fucked up. And that relationship shaped the men I chose my whole life. And it wasn't until he died that I realised that actually he had demanded to be my higher power, and I had let it happen. I'd already relapsed the year before I came back here to Scotland, and you know, I couldn't get along with them, and I'm so grateful that I've got my step, you know, step two is the most important step for me. I'm so grateful that I've got my step, because when my life fell apart, like you said, I did use. And I lost what little I had left. So yeah, I get it. But it's a big meeting, so I will shut up and let someone else share. Thank you again, Dawn.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine.
I'm Jodie, I'm an addict.
Hi, Jodie.
I just wanted to thank all of you, Dawn, for speaking. Jay and Steve for making the meeting, and everyone else for attending. Dawn's been in my life for a long time, and so has Jay. Steve, not as long, but now I know it's been over 5 years at this point, hasn't it, Steve? Anyway.
Bish.
Okay. Anyway, you guys are all really important. Everyone that's here is important. I don't want to think about what my life would be if I had lived this long without being in recovery, because I was totally miserable, and this is the only option that I ever had to make my life better. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Jodie.
Thank you, Jodie.
Thank you, Jodie.
Thank you, Jodie.
Good to see ya. Steve F., would you like to share with us this evening?
Yeah, I'm Steve. I'm an addict.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve. Brilliant,
brilliant chair, John. It's truly inspirational. I've got a lot from it. Stuff in there I can identify with, I can tell you. Yeah. I like what you said at the beginning about just like getting the basics right, you know. Get a program, get a sponsor, go to meetings. You know, I'm quite early in my recovery, so stuff like that helps. And I haven't had the joys of everything falling apart in my recovery, although I've lost everything in my addiction many times. But, you know, I'm hoping my program will give me the strength to deal with that if and when it does happen, you know. So I'm grateful for to be here, and thanks for your shares, guys, and thanks, Dawn. It's great to hear you. I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Debs, would you like to share with us today? I knew you were going to do that. Just psychic, man. Yes, I'm Debs, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Debs.
Hi, guys. Good to be in the meeting. Thank you, Dawn, for your share. I didn't get hit till 6:30 for some reason. I think this meeting starts at 6:30, and you would think I would know better, but tea is at 6. If I don't eat at 6 or around about that time, I have a bad night's sleep, so excuse me for being late. But the bit I caught of it, I related to a lot of it. I'm about 13 and a half years clean now, and I've just had a week at my parents, which was fantastic. Lots of early morning walks, and nothing gives me greater pleasure than being out in the outdoors. And it was just wonderful, you know, it was just the tonic I needed. Cooked some nice meals and ate together and did all those things that are great. And I've a few plans for this weekend to spend with friends, etc., etc. And they're all good things, I know. And sometimes we don't talk about the good things, but I guess we should really, because, you know, they're all things that I can do because I got clean 13 and a half years ago. And I got clean in an area where there are no meetings, like so many of you. And online meetings was an absolute lifesaver to me, and it still is. I've only ever done probably 3 face-to-face meetings in my entire clean life. But, you know, recovery gives us many wonderful gifts, but it also can kick our ass, as I think both Dawn and Steve in his share after Dawn share referred to. And about 6 weeks ago, it bit my ass. Life was strolling along, I didn't see the warning signs, and I was going into hospital for a minor procedure, but under general anaesthetic. And 3 days before I was due to head south, which was where I was having the operation, it just kicked in, and it just tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know what, I'm still here. And Jesus, you know, it's hard. No matter how much work we do, it's when it does bite your ass, it's scary. But I've learnt many lessons, and in the course of being in NA, and one of the first things I made a promise to my sister that if it bit my ass, it didn't matter what time of day or night it was, I would ring her. And I was reading the news, looking at social media, trying to distract my mind at 4:30 in the morning, and I could see she'd been up and about, so I just sent her a message and said, are you there? And she knew straight away at that time of the morning something was wrong. And by lunchtime she'd come up and got me, and it's taken me a long while. I've got back in touch with my GP, got working with him again, been speaking to various people who've helped me in the past. People who were local to me, people who could come and sit with me when I wasn't feeling so good. And I'm back on form again. I'm doing pretty well. It was a shit exercise from where I'm sat, but it wasn't a great thing to go through. But it was, in a way, because it taught me that it was time for me to sit down and stop threatening to look at the state of my work-life balance and actually do something about it, because I'm just pretty much a workaholic. We farm for a living, so, you know, it's not a 9-to-5 job plus all the other things I do. And I have implemented change for the better. I have giving up some clients that I do paperwork for or will be doing shortly. It's not a case of just turning up and saying I'm quitting. You've got to do a handover and say and that sort of stuff, and that takes time, and I'm not in the habit of letting people down. So we are implementing change in strategy, and I actually feel a hell of a lot better for it, to be honest. I feel a lot of weight's gone off my shoulders, and that I can concentrate on enjoying the things in life that I got clean in the hope that I could enjoy. And I don't regret the process that I went through about 6 or 8 weeks ago. I guess it was a higher power telling me, you know, enough's enough, you're not getting any younger, and you need to just, you've not been looking after your mental health or my anxiety, and you need to start listening to it, because it's going to bite your ass for the rest of your life if you don't maintain it and look after it properly. So yeah, but like, you know, things are good, and I'm glad to be here. I'm back home for a few days, and then I'm heading back down south again to help my dad through his next op, and hopefully be able to get back into a few more meetings this week. Thank you, Dawn, for your share, and thanks, Jay and Steve, for your service as ever. Thank you.
Good to see you, Deb. Thank you.
Thank you,
Deb.
Vaughan, would you like to share with us this evening?
Edit.
Hi, Vaughan.
Hi, Vaughan.
Hello, Vaughan.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Jay. And thank you so much, Dawn, for your wonderful share. Congratulations on your milestone. Thanks to everybody else who spoke. The thing that really got me was when you mentioned spark, the light, the sparkle of a newcomer when they go through the change. That is, for me, one of the biggest reasons as for me to always keep coming back. Because you see, I can acknowledge that because I felt it for myself. In my first year of recovery, I feel it now when I go through certain goals that I set for myself in my life, or when I'm acknowledged by my family. Only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. That sparkle, it reminds me of that tradition, that desire, you know, not to pick up no matter what. You know, when I was in my first 30 days and I heard members pick up their hands and say they were clean for 9 years, 10 years. I mean, those were the old timers. When I found the rooms, I didn't know about anybody else that we had more clean time than that. I kept coming back, and then I ended up finding another member who was the oldest in my country. I knew I have to stick with them. I knew I had to do what they were doing. So I could never imagine staying clean for that long, or for 5 minutes without using. Thank you for reminding me the power of this program, the miracle of this program, and reminding me of the promise that still is achievable as long as I don't pick up. Freedom from active addiction. And life, well, life is life. All I've got to do is just show up And remember when life comes to and challenging, it's okay sometimes to go on my knees and ask my higher power to guide me through it. So thanks for allowing me to share. Thank you for your share. Thanks for keeping the doors open and allowing a safe place for me to be in. My name is Vaughn. I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Vaughn.
Thank you, Vaughn. Ramona, would you like to share with us this evening? Good to see you.
My name is Ramona. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ramona.
Good to hear you all. I wish I could see your faces. But it's probably a good reason that we're not on, because while Dawn was sharing, I was over here boo-boo crying in gratitude and in identification. You know, I could really relate to the whole, you know, first 10 years. Like, I just didn't get high. But I was an absolute asshole, train wreck, you know, dope fiend manipulating individual. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, I'm like, wow, I've known Dawn 10 years. And, like, my life would not be where it is today had I not had the sponsor I had in that moment and met, you know, who would become my grand sponsor, that is Dawn. Like, you know, I was living on another side of the state, and, you know, I met Dawn, and I came to her house, her and Jay's house, for a visit. And, like, I knew that this is where I was supposed to be, kind of like, you know, the whole Vermont thing. Like, I knew I was supposed to be in Clearwater. And, like, I'm so grateful that, like, people like Dawn and Jay and all the thieves, you know, kept the doors open for an addict like me, you know. And it reminds me of, like, we do recover. The chapter they're talking about, like, it's available to us all, you know, in that all, like, I'm included in that, because for the longest time I felt like that scumbag piece of shit, and, like, I should have died, and, you know, I should have this and I should have that. Like, as I stay here in this process, like, I should be right where I'm at. And Dawn would always remind me, where are your feet? They're right here underneath me. They're holding me up, you know. Like, words couldn't express how grateful I am to know the people that I am, because in knowing them, I've gotten to know myself on such a deeper level. And then it goes into, like, you know, what was I willing to do? Like, I was so desperate to try something different. Like, I know how to not get high. I know how to not use drugs, but I don't necessarily know how to do this thing called life outside of an hour. Or outside of an hour and a half meeting. Like, and people nurture me and nourish my spirit and nourish my soul. And it's like, you know, I get to a certain level and then I plateau, and then I'm like, okay, now what? You know, and sometimes the now what is, if you want what we have, you do what we do. And the only way that you can keep it is to give it away. And sometimes in giving it away, I forget that, like, this is one of those therapeutic values. You know, because I can have a conversation with a random addict that I've never met before a day in my life and feel full. And then I can go and talk to my brother, my next door neighbor, who's known me my entire life, and it's just not the same. You know, that's that unspoken language of the heart that, like, we just understand. I just get it. So I'm so grateful that, you know, because Jay stayed clean, because Dawn stayed clean, because Debs is clean, because thieves are clean. Like you guys gave me an opportunity to get to know myself, you know, and I'm so grateful. You know, I'm grateful that, like, I watched Dawn sit at the dining room table and do her fucking homework till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then got up and did kids, took kids to school, and went to work. And, like, I look at her and I'd be like, well, what the fuck is my excuse? I have no kids. I don't have any demands that, you know, and, like, it inspired me. created a ripple effect. Like, I took my ass back to school, you know, like, we had classes together. And it was like, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. Which goes back to, like, if she can get clean, I can get clean. You know, it's so nice to hear that, like, it doesn't matter how long we stay clean, like, we can still find solutions to the problem. Like, it's nice to hear that we're going, we still go over character defects at, you know, 30 and 40 years clean. That gives me hope, you know. I'm so grateful to be at this meeting. Thank you, Jay, for your call earlier to let me know that my doodle was sharing. With that, I'm going to share the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona.
Good to see you. Jim, would you like to share with us this evening?
Thank you. My name's Jim. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you, everybody who does service, and all you lovely people helping me stay clean for today. And huge thank you, Dawn, for your share. I've been coming to these meetings for some time, I think, as you know, and I always enjoy it when you're here and when you share. And especially today, I love the gratitude. I love the seven things to do that you mentioned at the beginning. And I loved when you talked about making the decision to turn your willing life over, and you said the care of it. You listed a lot of stuff, but you said, to turn my will and my life over to the care of it. Now, for the last 10 years or so, my higher power is known as it. You know, I call it the great incomprehensible thing. And since I've had my stroke, I test myself in the morning if I can say that, if I can say the great incomprehensible thing, then I'm okay for the day, you know, and I'm in touch with it. Also, a great example of no matter what, you know. So, yeah, just love you being here. Thank you. And every time you share, what I hear is a really good message. So grateful for that as well. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, we have a few minutes left, and I'm not going to be able to throw the floor open for the last 5 or so minutes of the meeting. So if anyone else would like to jump in and share, floor is free, guys. Please jump in.
Thank you, Steve. My name's Penelope, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Penelope.
Thank you so much, Dawn. It was a fantastic share, and wonderful to hear a woman with similar clean time that has experienced what you've experienced over the years. You know, I relate to the chaos of the using and the chaos in recovery and the changes that you went through. You know, my caravan burnt down when I was 18 months clean, and I lost absolutely everything in the world except my children, my animals. And I realized that, you know, money probably impressed it. You know, the externals in life aren't important. What's important was the gift that I was given in this program, which was to, you know, to get and stay clean and have some peace of mind. However, you know, fleeting it can be sometimes, you know. I relate to, you know, going back to school and working in the field. So much you said, and also working with newcomers. I'm sponsoring someone whose mother's clean in AA, and she's 60 days, and she's you know, her mother is like a few years, and but is also an addict, and you know, they all live in the same street. It's a real kind of family illness. And you know, I also got another girl who's, you know, and you can hear it. I know we all talk on the phone, and that's why I like this platform, is because I can hear people's emotions and what they're saying. And, you know, it's the same. You get the light that's come on in their voice, you know. And also, you know, kind of sometimes when people are, you know, there's so much bullshit, excuse me, but so much bullshit goes around, you know. People say words that they don't really feel. And I sometimes believe that, you know, that it's just it's a state of being grateful. And I have to say that I've always put my gratitude into service, and I've found it very difficult online, because I'm not a technical person, but I am there. Sponsorship's been a great thing for me, and it's nice to hear you got sponsees and grand sponsees. And I found out the other day that I've got a great grand sponsee who goes to one of the meetings I go to. So that was interesting. you know, I know it's an anonymous program, and sometimes it's nice to know that somebody's looking after Jay as well. Thank you very much for the meeting, Steve and Jay, and everyone else who's been here and shared. Thanks.
Thank you, Penelope.
Okay, folks, we have come to the end of sharing time, but not quite the end of the meeting. I will, as usual, remind folks that the meeting after the meeting will take place. If you'd like to just hang out and fellowship, or if you've got anything you'd like to share that you haven't had the opportunity to, so please jump in and take advantage of that. And we're going to circle the wagons in the usual way, start passing the virtual pot and keeping with tradition 7, every ANA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And if you'd like to make a contribution here in the UK, a couple of ways you can do that. You can go to the bank, give them the details, TSB, Highlands and Islands Group of NA, sort code and account number are listed there. Alternatively, if you're outside the UK and you'd like to make a contribution, please go to the Tradition 7 buttons at the bottom of the guidelines and the various pages of the website, and the guidelines link is there. All contributions made to those accounts are not used to support a group, are used to help carry the message to the still suffering addict wherever possible. I'm just going to throw another couple of quick links in there as well, which are direct links to the PayPal portal if you would like to do that without going to the website. Choice is yours. Has anybody got any announcements for the good of the group or NA as a whole right now? Okay, folks, I'll just quickly post the details because someone did ask during the meeting. The next business meeting will be on the 28th of June, 2:30 in the after the Monday Steps and Tradition meeting. So if you'd like to, anyone would like to come and check out how we do what we do, help keep these meetings up and running, welcome to join us. Please come and say hi. So thank you. And just like get someone to read, we do recover for us to help us go through the process of closing the meeting.
My name is Joanna, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Joanna.
We do recover. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you, Joanna.
Okay, guys, and we do have an anonymity statement in our meetings, which is Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Tradition 12 tells us that anonymity is one of the core principles of our program. We'll ask that when attending our meetings, we all do our best to remember that gossip can be very damaging to our fellowship and individual. Do you hear what you hear when you leave here? Please let it stay here, but do carry the life-saving message away with you that you heard for yourselves and for the next addict you find that might need it. Another of my meetings are available around the world. You can see our group website, hidna.org.uk, and also www.virtual-na.org. Both of those sites list meetings in your time zone, so you always know what time they start. And if you'd like to go to other meetings in the UK, you can go to ukna.org/online for links and details to any more online meetings currently being run in the UK. So thank you for that too, and please pass those bits of information on. It just remains for me to thank you, Dawn, so much again for coming along and sharing your experience, strength and hope with us. At such short notice, you're a star. Thank you. And thank you everyone for being here. Thank you, Jay, for your service. Thank you to everybody else who does service to the Highlands Islands Groups of NA. Together we make them happen, make them possible. I'm very grateful. So Dawn, would you like to lead us out in the usual way? Dawn, can we hear you? Can't hear you.
Mic's open.
Yep.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. Sorry. Can we have a moment of silence for the addict who suffers in and out of the rooms? For the addict who's going to die never knowing that there's recovery. For the child who's born without a choice to the disease. Followed by the third step prayer. Many of us have said,
take my will and my life.
My will and my life.
Guide me in my recovery.
Please.